We're going to figure it out. We'll figure it out. I think I want to do this like every time.
I am not. I was actually, when I got up here to my parents, to my room in my parents' house, I was like, you know what? I should have been recording here all along, actually.
I was going to say, it's like a little nest.
It is. It's like, yo, I actually get to hang out here and chill. It's dope because Sharon's here, so it's actually even better. So,
word.
You know, it's funny, man, because a lot of this small talk is actually kind of going to go by the wayside. Let me turn my mic up a little bit.
I don't do small talk.
Opening question. You ready?
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to jump right into the opening question, which is interesting because I only have like three topics for this episode. So maybe we
should care. Small talk. I'm not scared of you.
Yes. So, my sister Shay B said she wants to do a theme song for the show. Yes or no, Kev?
Yes.
Oh, God. Absolutely
no question.
Yeah.
Absolutely no question. This is the most ridiculous thing anybody's ever heard on Rap Sucks Radio. You know what? We'll talk to y'all about this bullshit on the other side.
What's up? This is Stubbs and Chief Rocka. You're listening to the Snapback. Oops. No, you're not. My bad, Trek. You're listening to Rap Sucks Radio.
What up, y'all? You alive right now on Rap Sucks Radio. It's your homeboy Trek Life and your fam, Kev Sakota.
Yes, thank you so much for that theme song.
There is no way in hell or heaven.
Why?
It's not happening.
Why not?
Okay, you know what? I'm gonna send you a video that I took of my sister singing.
Wait, she's going to sing?
Exactly. Thank you. Run that back. What did you say? Wait, she's going to sing? Yes, that's exactly what's going to be. So the answer is no.
Get the video.
You know what? That video could go on RSR Podcast or on Facebook real fast. Yo, let's get it. What's up?
No, stop. It doesn't matter. I want that. Okay. Now, that has to happen.
Okay. This is what y'all wanted. Remember, y'all out there listening, y'all asked for it.
Not y'all. No, nobody else asked for it.
Well, no.
I asked for it.
They're ultimately going to be fans of Kev Sakota and fans of Trek Life. So anybody who is more of a fan of Kev Sakota, you ask for it. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure Fit Star, shout out to Spit Kicker, man. Is that a thing?
Is there a Team Trek and a Team Kev?
There's probably a Team Trek and a Team Kev. Matter of fact, Fizz, which team awesome. You on right now? Matter of fact, I'm looking for the answer to that because I'm nervous about where Fizz is at. But
you're nervous?
Yeah, I'm, you know what I'm saying. I feel like he should be on Team Trek.
I don't care. I don't need none of y'all. Do you know why I say that? I say that because I'm like, come on.
We are one.
I assume that the love is not in my corner.
It is absolutely in your corner. Who should probably be in the corner?
Who? Tell me who.
Young Georgia Clark. What's up? What's up, homegirl? You alright? No, you not alright. You out here tripping. Girl, you out here tripping. A veteran high school English teacher in Fort Worth. What up to my big brother, John? What up? Had an urgent request for President Trump. Kev, an urgent request.
Urgent.
She put
the exclamation point.
She did.
On the email.
She really did. Yeah. Well, on the tweet, actually. She needed help pulling.
Yeah. So yeah, we know that.
She may not have known that. She might have thought she was emailing with, you know.
Son.
God, y'all got, y'all, listen, racist folks, you got to get your aunties more internet savvy. They not handling it out here the proper way. You know what I'm saying? But
not at all.
Not at all. They failing. However, no one's failing like Miss Georgia Clark. She tweeted President and what she thought was a private message. And I quote, "Mr. President, Fort Worth Independent School District is loaded with illegal students from Mexico. Anything you can do to remove the illegals from Fort Worth would be greatly appreciated." She went on to say that she was uncomfortable saying this in public because Texas will not protect whistleblowers. The Mexicans refuse to honor our flag. She is a teacher speaking about her own students. Yep. What she did not know was that she actually tweeted that out publicly. Oh, boy.
Technology wins.
Technology always wins, man. Technology never fails. You know what I mean? So, eight school board members unanimously voted to voted to terminate Clark's contract, after which she was placed on administrative leave with pay on May 29th. That's when her leave began. She is planning to appeal that termination request.
She it. The worst thing about every single last one of these stories is they all include the words "with pay."
Right, that's true. Yeah,
I hate that. I mean, you know, she thought she was sliding into the president's DMs, you know, rather than forced retirement. It's like dumbass.
Who slides into the president's DMs, fam? On what planet?
I do not want to know.
Do you know? You know what's crazy though? How many people probably have tweeted him privately? You know what I'm saying? How many of you?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I hate to, you know, state the kind of dark hand over the. How many of your coworkers have tweeted the president about you privately? You know what I'm saying? Like,
that would be a great stat,
right?
I'd just be like, it'd be like, yo, you know, he doesn't really do the whole reading the thing. It's not on brand. It's not on brand for him.
I probably have one coworker who's like, he's just growing his hair out, and he's a manager, and you know, I didn't know Negroes could have power. Is there anything you could do? You know what I'm saying? Live and direct from Central California, you know. Whatever. Sorry.
Wow.
For those of you guys who are outside of the state, Central California is where we keep our racist in California. That's where we box them in.
In the hot part.
Yeah, we make sure that they have to be in the wet. So we actually send them to Central California because it's hotter out there, so we'd like them to tan so that maybe they figure it out. But no, they find a way to stay racist and stay untanned. So good job.
If California was a couch, Central Cali would be the plastic part.
Right, it would be. But then what we also do is we make sure like Fresno and Lancaster and Palmdale are rough enough for them to have to be afraid of us. So shout out to my folks out there handling their biz. You know what I'm saying? Keep doing it. You know what I mean? Truck drivers.
Well, did you just do a cleanup?
Well, I kind of did. But yeah, truck drivers is passing through. They used to stop through y'all city, but they don't no more. And I appreciate that.
Trying to clean up. Are you doing a tour? Are you doing a West Coast tour?
I will not be touring in any Central California town, nor have I ever. Nor have I ever. You know what's interesting, man? My mom is from Barstow.
What's up, Goleta?
Goleta, good Lord. My mother is actually from Barstow, California. And there's my sister, and I don't know if my sister remembers this story, but we were driving to Vegas once.
I never knew that.
Yeah, she's from Barstow, which is not a real place, by the way. My mother's not from a real place in the world, just for anybody. Yeah. Barstow's not a real place. It's a train station with a McDonald's in it. That's what it is.
Yeah. Wow.
So we were driving through Barstow.
Oh, my God.
And my mom pointed off of the freeway and said, I used to live over there. And me and my sister were like, in those bushes? Like, there was no house up there. Where did she come from? I'm sorry. I love my mom very much, but yeah, Barstow's not a real place. Yeah. Now I can't go to Barstow and tour, which is fine because I'm not performing at a train station McDonald's anytime soon.
You should.
Anyhow.
What about Zizzix?
Is Zizzix in Cali? You know there's a rapper. Shout out to my man Zizzix. He's a rapper. Is that in California still? That's like the border close to the edge before you get into Nevada, right?
Okay, rephrase your question and ask me if I actually care.
Okay, so
about the answer,
I'm not going to rephrase that question. Matter of fact, you know what? I will. Kev, what do you know about the Zizzix exit
baby. Shh. Come on, get out of here.
It's not it.
This is the thing that kills me about Georgia Clark. She, quote, told the president she needed guarantees her identity would be protected.
Yes, she did.
Yes. Have you met the president that you're talking to? My man cannot keep his own secrets.
He be out there wolfing, boy.
Don't
tell that
without even trying. He doesn't even know. He's the guy who's going to turn around and be like, "What? What did I do?" It's like, "Oh, my bad." He's literally the "my bad" president.
Yo.
Oh, my bad, dude. My bad.
I'm sorry. Yeah, right. President Trump is not the person to tell your secrets to. You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
that is the last person.
Yeah.
He out there.
Yeah.
For young Georgia Clark, you know what I'm saying? You know your homegirl that is a little jealous of you, so she tells your secrets to dudes that you meet in the club. Yeah, that's your president. That's who he is. He's gonna tell.
Those Japanese oil tankers, you know, they're trying to figure out if they were hit by mines or torpedoes or whatever. It was his Trump's loose lips.
Right, sinking ships.
Indeed. Yeah. Trying to get my Japanese brethren out there,
right?
With conspiracy theories.
Trying to do it. My folks, you know, blacks and Asians get along. Per last episode.
Per last episode, that was proven wrong.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm trying, man. I'm trying. I'm doing the best that I can, man. This is you know.
That's all you can do.
look, dude. So, without a great segue, I actually kind of meant to bring this topic up probably since our maybe fourth or fifth episode, really.
Okay.
But it's actually come up quite a bit over the last week or so. It's just come up quite a bit. Yeah, man. Like my man Mark Love posted about it. What up to Mark Love? Peace. I believe Omega posted about this too. Either way, it was in a spit kicker forum.
Didn't this happen like a long time ago? Like, long time in our terms, like a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that post did happen. What are you talking about, Mark Love's or the spit kicker one?
No. The incident.
Okay.
Whatever.
No. What the Mark Love conversation, and I'll of course, y'all. I'm not really trying to cliffhanger y'all, but just for clarity. The Mark Love and spit kicker conversations happen within like 2 weeks of each other, but I've kind of noticed this conversation throughout time, and there was a blog, truedreads.com. There's an article on the blog, and I'll post it. That's discussing why the modern generation's form of hip hop is sort of destroying the black community. You know what I'm saying? Why and how? Basically, the accusation in the article or the insinuation, let me not say accusation because it is a pretty well-written blog, is that, you know, the negativity in current hip-hop music is having a strong effect on black culture and in a further discussion, a strong effect on overall urban culture and you know, the culture of people of color and the culture of young people, et cetera, just American culture, right? So are we at this point, Kev, where art is no longer imitating life and life is now imitating art?
Okay, so the first thing I need to say is that much love to both Mark Love and the entire Spit Kicker community.
Right.
I was thinking about the next topic we're going to discuss.
Okay.
Okay. Because of my notes. So I wasn't talking about this. To answer your question, I actually didn't see what Mark posted.
Right.
I haven't seen any of the Spit Kicker feedback. I read a little bit of the article that you referenced. But obviously this is the reason that I didn't have a note on this, which is why I skipped over it, is because I feel like this is something that you and I talk about from time to time.
Absolutely.
You know, like we can just talk about it from the top of our head. The only time I make notes is when it's something that I know nothing about.
Right.
I understand why people our age, you know, want to sort of, the lens that the writer took was old man, old head energy.
Super right? Old head energy, yes.
Yeah, which the first question I asked, just like I asked last week, was this dude is like 22 or whatever, right? But no, it's the same thing now that it's always been, which is I'm young. I feel the need to talk trash about something or rebel against something. So this is how I'm going to express that. You have to detach from that whether or not their expression of that rebellion is artistic to you. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
As far as the cultural baggage behind it, it's like, well, I mean, really?
Well,
a lot of the stuff we listen to, like we, you know, it's just like anything. Like if you look back at a family vacation from 20 years ago, you're going to remember the good things about that vacation. You might block out the fact that you fought with your dad and your mom and your sister and your brother the whole time you were on that vacation, right?
Yeah.
So we take the memorable positive feelings from our experience of hip hop when it was blooming. That's what we, you know, that's what we refer to as hip hop.
Right.
But there was a lot of nonsense that was going on at the same time.
By a thousand, absolutely. Let me just say, okay. I think it's a little deeper than that, though. I agree with you. I think you're absolutely right. But I think that it's a little deeper than that. And one of the things I constantly mention is being, you know. So one of the things that a lot of people don't understand about me as a person is that I was able to experience two sides of one kind of Black American story. I'm from 110th in Hoover as a young person. A lot of what I experienced, a lot of what I understood in the city is a lot of what Ice Cube talked about on his records, which is why Death Certificate is my favorite album of all times, because it's a record that I can see, I can visualize, because I was there. My brother and sister were there. My brother was, you know, bused to the valley. The same way that Ice Cube was bused to the valley, only to come home to some of the same, you know, issues that Reagan had created when he dumped crack into our communities to try to destroy us. So I saw that. And where I saw it from a very youthful, a very young angle, I'm aware of it. I'm aware of it. The other side of the coin is that we moved to the suburbs. And when we moved to the suburbs, I got to see people try to perpetrate that same experience that I had. And it was, to me, it was like, you don't want to live like that. My family, my personal situation was nothing like Ice Cube's stories. All the stories that I could tell you about the hood were from a distance. My family was a middle class family, two working parents, sister that went to private school that now has a PhD, brother who is a, you know, high end executive at his job, and me as the low end factory worker that didn't go to college type brother. You know what I'm saying? But the reality is, I got to see that whole thing. So I want to preface it with that. But in the 90s, man, and late 80s, after rap came out, gangbanging went up. People were banging in Little Rock. People were banging in West Covina. People were banging in Covina. People were banging in places that gangbanging was not a thing at all. I have to say that I feel like art, I felt like life started imitating art at that point. You know what I'm saying? And probably to the worst degree. You know what I'm saying? To the worst degree. So I'm not sure if what people are doing now is as collectively destructive to an entire neighborhood, right? You pop Molly or whatever, you do your thing. That's an individual destruction. I wouldn't suggest it. I wouldn't suggest you destroy yourself in some of the ways that these songs are talking about. But I feel like that's where life is imitating art. You're learning about new drugs. I hear about drugs on, I ain't never heard of these joints. People be like, you know, I pop this, I pop that. I'd be like, what's this? I don't know. Who's popping Xanax for what? But what I do remember about the music of our generation was that there was an absolutely destructive reaction to it. There was a wonderful reaction to it. L.A. riots. People can talk down about the L.A. riots, but I think that was largely promoted by Public Enemy's music and Ice Cube's music and et cetera. I feel like they had a play in that. And maybe we can argue that or discuss that now there isn't a lot of music that would influence people to respond and react to oppression the way that the music of our generation did, right? But I don't see the destructive nature as so much different. I really don't. You know what I'm saying? Almost not. Not at all.
No, I guess that's what I was saying. You know, I don't see it as being fundamentally different. I definitely think art imitates life. So I agree with you there.
Right.
And especially when we were listening to NWA or CMW or Above the Law.
Right, right.
You know.
Yeah.
People who would not have otherwise thought of themselves as gang affiliated found a reason to be that.
Correct.
You know what I mean? So and so now the only difference is, you know, whatever the subject material is, you know, which is, you know, self-medicating and things like that, you know. And at the end of the day, it's like, well, you know, are you talking about it in a way that's going to, what is the way you're talking about it? You know, like, I mean, because the thing is that it's like, it's easy for us to, I mean, you know, we do a lot of old man humor or
yeah,
whatever, right?
Absolutely.
On this podcast and like talk a lot of trash, but, you know, because...
Because that's what we do.
Young people are stupid. Young people are fucking stupid.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, if what you're talking about is bringing light to a subject that has not been talked about or is not getting discussed in a way that is going to bring about a positive change, it's like, then do your thing. You know what I mean? Like Logic has done a lot of stupid stuff over the last like month and a half, 2 months. said some dumb stuff. But he did a record last year, whenever that was, last year, 2 years ago, about suicide. And it's like around the, you know, at the same time as a lot of people were committing suicide, you know, that brought a lot of light to mental health issues and
sure,
seeking out help. And, you know, it's like it's a positive thing. And so if in talking about taking drugs, it's also a comment on like, why am I doing this? You know, can I find a way out of doing these things? It's like, you know, do your thing. I'm not listening to it enough to know if that's the context they're bringing to it.
And neither am I. But I could tell you this much. I learned how to cook crack from rap records. Like, it's bottom line. If you wanted to learn how to not only did you know sell, not only prepare dope, but follow the rules of the street to sell it, you could learn it from the records of my time. You know what I'm saying? So part of me feels like, you know, I don't want to shade anybody, and that's kind of the difficulty, because a lot of times, you know, I'm deliberately throwing shade, and I want to make sure that you're uncomfortable, not you personally, but the person I'm throwing shade to is absolutely uncomfortable and really dislikes himself in the mirror when I throw that shade. That's what I'm going for. But in this case, I'm really not. Like, I'm saying some of this seems like you were no longer in power or in control or making money off of the music, so you're now upset with the outcome of the music. But when you were in power, you know, a lot of artists weren't really promoting a lot of change. And that's fair, man. Whatever, man. You're 21, 22 years old. You seeing money for the first time. Rap money was bigger than any type of money you would, you know, that we were used to, at least. So it makes sense that a lot of people would react in some of the ways they would. Like, the community would kind of fall by the wayside. You, as many people like to diss Talib Kweli, for example, I mean, Talib does wonderful, wonderful community service, man. He looks out for his folks. And so you may not like his opinions, but he does look out for his folks. And that's not something that can be said about everybody. You can dislike Ice Cube all you want. Ice Cube looks out for his folks. So in spite of these messages, they've been able to look out for their folks. But, you know, you look at Quavo and them, they do the same thing. They do the exact same thing. You may not like the messages in their music, but when they return back to their communities, they're actually doing wonderful, brilliant, magnificent things inside of their community. So what's the name of it? Migos. I'm Quavo and Migos in them. Like, they do wonderful things for their community. T.I., being on the older side of things, does great things for his community. You know, it's almost like, do you want to be the face of all of this, or do you want the actual change to happen? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think that's the argument here. Or my argument.
I mean, and the thing is that if you think of any artist, you know, whether it's a you know, if you take it from Migos, T.I., you know, and there's a lot of artists who are like a little bit grimier than Migos in this day and age, right?
Sure.
Up to what you would consider a little bit more like top 40, corny, whatever, you know, like a Drake. Right. Or like take J. Cole.
Yeah, yeah.
I can listen to a J. Cole record, and there's certain things that he says, and I'm like I can't listen to that with my daughter, but I hear you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, they're all just people. You know, they're all just young men. You know, so if I expect any person to speak perfectly every time they open their mouth, I'm going to be, you know, in store for a world of disappointment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, so, yeah. It's like, yeah.
So do what you're going to do, and then at the end of the day, you're going to be, you know, if you're concerned about how you're judged, just know that you're going to be judged for the balance of what you contribute to the world.
Right, right. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, because anything that, you know, any rapper has said about the Black American experience is profoundly better than anything that Charles Barkley has ever said in his entire life, period.
Wow.
So, wow. Yeah. So we're making sure that Charles Barkley's shade is front and center. You know what I'm saying? Long as y'all not trash, but like Charles Barkley.
This is the one thing that I will speak on, you know, when it comes to the hip-hop, quote-unquote hip-hop, as a culture, is that if we want to think about what we leave to the world as a legacy,
yeah,
then we need to approach it as a legacy family.
Right.
There are a lot of families who have legacy in America or in the international community. You know, if you think about There are families that you can think about in American history that have a legacy. Go to any museum in your town.
Sure.
And you will see their name on the wall.
Yeah, yeah.
They did a... Most of them did a lot of shady shit.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, they made an effort to communicate a message about who they were about, or, you know, what they were about, what they believed in. As long as we make an effort, if I can be so bold as to say we as the hip-hop community.
Absolutely.
To communicate a message about what hip-hop is about to our country and to the world. It's like, then yeah, that's the most we can ask for.
Yeah.
And then we gotta make some money.
Yeah.
To back it up.
Yeah, and I think and to some degree, and we'll move on to the next topic, but I think to some degree the argument is that the balance is off. But I only remember a very short period of time where there was some balance on the radio. You know what I'm saying? I just remember that anything that I wanted to listen to, like Public Enemy, was not on the radio, and hardly. And if you wanted to hear that, you had to go out and seek it. And I think that we're just in that time where it's going to constantly be like that. But anyway, I didn't, you know. I just don't think that's not
Public Enemy. That's not hip hop's fault. That's not Public Enemy's fault
at all.
That was the powers that be.
Absolutely.
And Public Enemy chose to communicate the message that they wanted to communicate.
Correct.
And I don't know Chuck at all. I feel like if I sat in a room with Chuck, we would get along great, but I would assume that, like any other man, especially as a young man, like when he was the age of a Quavo or anybody who's coming up now, he might have done some stuff that he might not be as proud of now as he was then.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
So,
without a doubt.
So let the man grow, you know?
Without a doubt. Well, you would think.
Unless you're trying to get somebody's lady right after they pass away.
Well, yeah. Another, yeah. Kodak Black stays on the L list. I don't go on the alphabet. Yeah, but the hip hop community's purpose is to teach lessons. However, the Chapel School in Bronxville, New York, is apparently not capable of teaching proper lessons. This segment of the show we like to call "Nah, Homie." You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what? Nah, homie, don't do that.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying? In March, a white teacher at an influence, and then, I'm sorry, let me run that back. In March, a white teacher at an affluent New York private school was accused of holding, you ready, Kev? You ready?
Yep.
You ready, Reezy?
Yes.
A mock slave auction for her students, in which white fifth graders pretended to bid on their black peers.
What?
This was in hopes of trying to teach black history, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. I actually, like I said, I make notes for the show. Kev mentions that as well. But I'm going to skip note number one and go to note number two real quick, because this is a short note. Fuck was you thinking? Right. Like, what was you? Rebecca Antonazzi at the Chapel School in Bronxville, New York. Fifth graders. My daughter is going into sixth grade, so this is, you know, that was the this happened in her fifth grade year. These are students her age. Would my daughter have been one of those students?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you were going to. There was no better way in your mind, even if your intentions were good. There was no better way in your mind to teach that lesson.
Right.
Like, that's a crazy. That's crazy. This comes as a report of Vox.com, by the way. But
yeah, no.
Wow.
No, stop. First of all, the gamification of slavery,
right?
Should not be a thing.
Let's not do this. Right.
Let's not do that. Let's not do that. First of all. Also, the city, the town that this took place in was called Bronxville.
Bronxville,
which
yes.
is not, that is not the home of hip-hop.
Right, yeah, exactly. This is not, yeah, this is not the Bronx. This is Bronxville.
In Bronxville, Grandmaster and Grand Wizard mean a whole different thing. In Bronxville, Cold Crush Brothers
yeah.
is not a group. It's an initiation.
It's exactly. For real. She was.
It's a command.
She was, well, Sister Reezy just looked it up. She was fired for her actions. But peep this, though, Kev. She had black students leave the classroom, and according to one student, pretended to put imaginary chains along the wrist, necks and wrist, and shackles on their ankles. The teacher then led the students back into the classroom where their white classmates were encouraged to bid on them.
Yeah.
And she pretended to be the slave auctioneer. Now, okay, let me do this. None of y'all gonna like what I'm about to do, but I'm gonna do it.
Oh, God.
Now, I'm going to say that Rebecca thought that she was going to teach the cruelty by giving her students a visual connection to slavery. And here's what I'm going to say to Rebecca. You would have done better not to divide the students. You shouldn't have done it to begin with, but let me run this back. You would have done better not to divide the students by white and black. You see what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, you gave the white students, you returned to them the gift of superiority. You know what I'm saying? And you demoralize your black students. Right? So let's say you had said, we're going to divide the classroom. Students A through F, you're the slaves. You know, the rest of the students, you're the slave owners. Doesn't matter what race, color, or creed you are. Then maybe you could have taught the, you know, feeling of emasculation of being a slave to the white students as well. But to divide the students by black and white, all you did was empower your white students. And yeah,
well, that's what I was wondering yeah. Is like, is was it like, yeah, what was the fucking lesson? Like, if you would have sent the white students out of the room, you know what I mean? And to try and, because the thing is, what are you really trying to communicate? Is that an arbitrary difference in, you know, in skin color dictated an entire era of the American experience?
Correct.
So send the fucking white students out.
Exactly. Exactly. Send, you know what I'm saying? Like, make sure.
And let the 2.5 black students in the class.
Thank you.
Bid that shit the fuck up.
Because it's an affluent private school in Bronxville, which is not even, which is, you know, someplace on Harry Potter.
Yeah, that's where KRS-666 was born.
Exactly. So you sent the 3 black students in your class, you know what I'm saying? And it was reported by one of the black students' mothers who was like, yo, I didn't send my kid to school, to your private school for this. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm
wait,
keep it real. Like Reezy just said, I'm paying for this shit. I'm paying for my yeah. student to be auctioned off as a damn slave in your classroom. Yeah. You got to knock it off.
Did she do the wild auction voice too?
I'm trying to figure out how she, how did you do that? And whatever,
or did she do the did she give them paddles? Was it a high class auction? That's what I want to know.
Pretend chains.
God damn it!
Were they like little punk ass chains that you had to make for Christmas when you was in, you know, the little paper joints that went around?
That's the thing. It's 2018. These and the thing is that these white kids were probably like, what are we doing? What is really going on? The white kids are probably like, yo, yeah. My dad is a fucking mechanic, and he barely got enough money to send me here. You have fam, me. What are we doing right now?
Fam, exactly. Even the white students was like, I don't really know about this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've been listening to, you know what I'm saying, Schoolboy yeah. Q all week.
I love that her name is Rebecca, too. She's fucking Becky.
Get him, Becky.
With the bad idea.
Yeah, Becky.
Becky with the bad idea.
For real. That is. Thank you. New name. not Rebecca and Tanazi, Becky with the bad idea. You know what I'm saying?
God damn. Good Lord.
Pretend chains. That's like, they had to make the damn chains. Nigga. I'm done. We've been a little serious on this.
Wait,
what's up?
This is the thing is that in the article, though, again, I'm just trying to prove that I'm a team player here.
You're actually reading the articles. Thank you, Kev.
I am. Of 1,000 high school seniors polled in 2018, only 8% identified slavery as the cause for the Civil War, with 48%
good Lord,
saying it was about tax protests.
Get out of here. Are you serious?
You sent me the article.
I'm sorry. This actually proves that I didn't read the article all the way through. But I did stop at the walk the students
that's
out
what, eight, part. Eighty children out of 1,000 said that slavery was the cause for the Civil War. It not racism, not, you know. Actually, I don't know. They might. Some of them might have said racism. I don't know. But 48% said it was because of tax protests. Which the article went on to say that there might have been an aberration because they were thinking about the Revolutionary War. Get the fuck out of here!
Yeah, first of all, Chapel School. Yeah, okay. Parents in Chapel School, y'all paying way too much money for this.
Yeah, y'all paying way
too much money for kids to be mixing up the Civil War with the Revolutionary War, and you know, Becky with the bad idea out here making paper mache chains. It's a wrap. Knock it off. You know what I'm saying? Becky got to go.
Bronxville.
Becky got fired.
What we need to do, we need to take all them kids from Bronxville to Brownsville.
Yeah, take. Exactly.
Drop their fucking asses off.
Exactly. Yeah.
At the Burger King.
Yeah.
Ask them, you know.
Wait, ask them to order an Impossible Burger.
In Brownsville and get the Beyond Burger. Yeah, get out of here. And then take the J train back.
Yeah.
To Grand Central and get your ass back up to Bronxville, where the hell that is. Get out of here.
I'm done with this. I'm so done. Like, dude, it is 2019. Is this for real? This is a real thing? This is happening. Like, does common sense just not progress forward? Like, what's going on with y'all right now?
No. I mean, literally, it's like, wait, these people felt it was okay to own these people is literally the end of the story. Like, if I don't care if you are in fifth grade, first grade, or 15th grade, if you don't understand what's going on, get out of here.
And shout out to y'all.
Your parents are paying.
Real quick, shout out to anybody listening to this show that's, you know, if you're a right wing person who decided to tune into the show to make sure that you have something funny to say or comment real quick. Listen, shout out to y'all who like, but Africans sold other African. Shut up. The whole thing is trash. Y'all trash. Your ancestors is trash. Your auntie trash. Your great auntie trash. Whatever little shack you live in right now because your stupid ass wasn't able to capitalize on the white experience before my family capitalized on the great American experience. Y'all trash. Your whole neighborhood trash. Your whole southern community trash. Atlanta's one of the greatest cities in America right now. So the rest of y'all trash and stop being trash. Becky, knock it off. Just want to make sure y'all know that. It's hefty bags for all y'all in the backyard because y'all trash.
And also, if you've never heard anyone say that, you know someone who has said that when you're not around.
Exactly. We've been a little serious on this show though, Kev. So I want to close out. I think so. The title of the next topic, real quick, is I personally think Game of Thrones has gone a little too far with their marketing at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, the show is over. We can feel how we want to feel about it. But on June 13th in Moscow.
Ghost.
Get him, Ghost. Russian scientists found a furry head of an Ice Age wolf perfectly preserved in the Siberian permafrost. The head of the wolf, which died 40,000 years ago, was discovered in the Russian Arctic region of Yakutia. Listen.
Wait, these are Russians who found this wolf?
These are Russians who found this wolf, yes.
Were Hillary's emails in there, too?
Were Hillary's emails found near the wolf? No, they were not. They were not.
Ah!
However, this is how much Jon Snow didn't pay attention to Ghost in the damn show. To the point where Ghost had to just be like, you know what? I'm going to have to show up in Russia to get some attention on this damn show. Yeah, Game of Thrones marketing, y'all have gone officially way too far. Y'all pulling out wolves from 40,000 years ago to promote the show. You know.
All I got for this, that is 280,000 in dog years. Boom!
Do math.
Dad joke. Asian dad joke.
Get it in. You know what? I'm proud of you, man. I'm proud.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
And, of course, thank y'all for listening, man. This is Rap Sucks Radio with your homeboy Trek Life and your fam Kev Sakota.
Yeah.
Shout out to my sister Shay B in the house. Give me one more time, Shay.
Indeed.
Word up. Yeah, perfect. Catch us at rapsocksradio.com. She will not be doing an intro song. I will not allow it. The embarrassment of my family is not going to happen.
Stop it. We need that.
My mom's already from Barstow. We don't need any further.
The game needs it.
The game does not need it.
We can have some train sounds in the background.
Some train sounds.
Train sounds with someone asking for, you know, two Egg McMuffins, value pack type deal.
That is so bad.
You know, I'm so tired. Bad. I'm driving to Vegas. It's all good.
Yeah,
baby.
It's a good thing. You pull off at the train station and get you, Egg McMuffin. It's whatever.
Huh. The crazy thing is that your mother, God bless her, is from Barstow, and you mentioned literally the only thing I know about Barstow, which is the McDonald's train station.
That is the only thing to know about Barstow, is the McDonald's train station.
That can't be true. Is that really true?
Who cares?
We need to do a remote broadcast from Barstow.
And why? So we could just be in the sun? No, I'm good.
No, I'm completely lying.
Yeah, you exactly. Wait, you who multiple episodes ago made 19 jokes in one episode about the IE, I'm certain that you're not going anywhere near Barstow.
Oh, did I catch any heat about that?
Not yet.
Not, you know why?
Why is that?
Because sound only travels so fast and the IE is too fucking far away.
You know what, y'all? I think we've dissed Cali, Central California to the IE enough. RapSucksRadio.com. You can catch us on Spotify, iTunes. Matter of fact, if you're listening, you know all this, but you can tell your friends that.
Rate and review.
Yep.
Listen, you might be listening to us, but you know what? The dude next to you, he might not know.
Mm-hmm.
So tell him.
Yeah, tell him. I mean, dude, we out here talking about Becky with the bad idea. We talking about wolves from 40,000 years ago. We did a whole Asian American success episode last episode. Shout out to Kev.
That should be enough.
For no accomplishments in that. yeah, we had a hip-hop discussion for the people who say we never talk about rap. And
there is something for everyone.
There's something for everyone. And we've officially wrapped up the show 4 times in the last 3 minutes. Like, this is exactly the type of show you're listening to. Hey, yo, we'll catch y'all on the flip side, y'all. Holla at y'all. RapSucksRadio.com. Track Life, Kev Sakota. 1, 2, 3. Peace. We out.
Yeah, peace.